And here in Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki. This is the latest update on coronavirus preparation in the community for Friday, March 20th, 2020. And I'm joined on the phone line, I believe, by officials with Petersburg Medical Center. Are you there?
We are here.
Okay. Well, you guys are the only ones I have on at the moment. So can we start with you and your latest update?
We also have Aaron from Public Health with us.
Okay.
Just so you know who's in the room, Jen Briner is here, Chad Wright, and this is Lori Miller speaking. And we, like I said, we also have Aaron Michael, and she's going to talk a little bit.
Okay. Aaron, welcome. What's the latest?
Well, the latest count did show an increase in Southeast, another case in Ketchikan, and this one was non-travel related. So that should be just a cautionary tale for us that it is starting to show up in the communities that aren't travel related. So everybody really needs to be doing their part and do the self-isolation or self-quarantine as instructed by your providers. Do your hand washing. Do your social distancing 6 feet away. If you're going into town to do grocery shopping, maybe just pick one person. As they talked about in the LAPC meeting, maybe just picking one person and going once a week and doing it for the whole week versus going up and getting a little bit at a time and a little bit at a time to just decrease that risk for yourself and for employees that are being generous enough to stay open and work. So we really just got to work as a team on this. So we just want to make sure and emphasize all those measures we've been drumming in, and I know people might feel like we're over-drumming them, but I don't think you can be over-cautious in this regard. So please, people, take those measures that have been recommended by the CDC and the states and the medical center and public health in consideration, and just follow those if you can.
Okay, great. Aaron, while we got you on the line, I have a couple questions from listeners, and maybe you or some of the others with PMC could tackle these. One was from a listener about testing. A small town in Italy tested 100% of their residents, and Iceland is currently in the process of testing their entire population. What both efforts has shown is that 50% of those who tested positive were asymptomatic. Is there any information available yet on if those people who are or were asymptomatic and tested positive actually eventually got sick? Or if yes, what percent did get sick or not? Do you have any updated numbers on that kind of thing?
No, I'm sorry. I have not heard of that yet, but I will look it up when I get done here and see what article they might be referencing or study they might be referencing. Lori, do you want to talk about capabilities of testing here at all?
Like I have said before, we do not have the ability here in Petersburg to perform COVID testing. We do, however, have the ability to collect the swabs needed to perform the test, which we will then send out to either the state public health lab or to Quest, which is a huge commercial laboratory. Both labs are ramping up their ability to receive more specimens and process more specimens and get turnaround times under, 24 to 48 hours. Currently, Quest is saying it can take up to 7 or 8 days. I was on a phone call with them this morning to try and get a better sense of whether or not it was even worth it for us to keep sending tests to Quest or if we should just be relying on the public health lab. At this point in time, the physicians and the state epidemiology are the two deciding bodies of whether or not we are going to perform testing. The physicians will consult with state epi and decide if the specimen that is collected should go to the state testing lab or if it can go to Quest. I don't think I can really say anything more than that at this point in time. I do not know to go ahead and forestall the next question. I do not know if or when we will ever have the capability of performing COVID testing here in Petersburg.
Okay, thank you. And I think we do have on the line Liz Bacom. Are you there, Liz?
I certainly am. I'm kind of hovering in. I have received some questions from the community, too, about masking and public areas and like the post office and the grocery stores, and is it safe to go to these places, and should they be wearing a mask? And there's some people talking about making homemade masks that they couldn't really be used in the healthcare setting, but if community members would feel safer wearing a mask going out in public. A mask is not the preferred way of preventing transmission, however. The preferred method of preventing transmission is distance and hand hygiene. So if you're within 6 feet of someone, if you're in a close proximity, try to get out of that bubble. Make your bubble big. Make your bubble 6 feet, and you should not have any worries. High-touch areas are another concern. There's all kinds of information about how long the virus can survive and be viable on different surfaces. If we were all covered in copper, that would be the best thing because it actually has some protection. It actually deactivates bacteria and viruses, but obviously copper is very expensive, and so we don't have that luxury, but good hand hygiene after you touch a high-touch area, washing your hands or gelling before you go into a business is very much appreciated by those people that are working in those businesses. Just like the hospital has a finite source of healthcare workers, the grocery stores have a finite source of workers there too, and if their staff start getting sick, their doors will close, and we certainly don't want to see that happen. We need to protect everybody in Petersburg. The idea is keeping everybody here healthy and safe for as long as we can. We're going to see it coming to town. It's inevitable. We just want to be sure that everybody's taking the precautions to limit the spread. That's all I got to say.
Okay, great. And these might be questions for our next caller. They're from the Petersburg Pilot. The first question is, does Petersburg intend to screen passengers disembarking from cruise ships, airlines, and ferries before they come into Petersburg? The other was about COVID-19 spread through public water supply, or can it be spread to wastewater employees through the sewer system? Those are probably Sandy Dixon questions, right? Or anyone PMC answering those? Or nope, I'm not hearing.
Well, this is Liz again. There is no screening going on for passengers disembarking at this time. That may change, but it seems like they need to be screened before they get on any mode of public transportation, before they come to town. That's a gap that I see statewide, that people are getting on airplanes and they may not even be aware that they are supposed to go into quarantine. So anybody in the audience has any leverage or contacts in the state, I just feel like that is, or with Alaska Airlines, I feel like that is a gap, a big one. And as far as wastewater, I would have to research on that. There's been some reports that suggest that perhaps the virus can be shed in stool after a person has been is put into remission, but I don't know how valid that information is. There's so much, we're being inundated with information, and we really have to be careful where we get the sources and look at the sources and what information we take in. And my only other caution is that people need to just take a breath and just think sensibly that this is something that we can handle, and we just need to support each other.
Okay, great. Thanks, Liz. We're going to move on to our next caller and let them join in. Thank you very much. Sandy Dixon, are you joining us on line three there?
I am. I'm online.
Okay. Are you able to offer any of the answers to the questions I just threw out there from the Petersburg Pilot on COVID-19 spread through the public water supply or the sewer system, or any screening for passengers coming in on any kind of public transportation to town?
I would assume that it would not be spread, excuse me, through the water system or the sewer system because they have treatments in place to accommodate that, but I can verify with Carl, the utility director, Carl Hagerman. And I am not aware of any screening. I know it has been requested. People are concerned about the boats coming in, not just the cruise ships, but the fishermen coming into town after long fishing trips, and then the airport. And as far as I know, there's nothing in place screening passengers coming off the plane. It's a federal facility, so we don't have authority to do that. And I would just concur with what everyone else has said, is if you're sick, don't go there. If you're sick, don't get on the plane. You know, wash your hands and self-isolate. That's how we're going to stop the spread of this thing. So,
okay. What else latest updates from the borough's standpoint can you give?
Well, excuse me, I don't remember if this had happened yesterday, but we went to level two with our EEOC, Emergency Operations Center. Carl Hagerman has been appointed by the borough manager to be the incident commander. So he and I talked yesterday afternoon, and he's established an incident management team, and we're going to meet today at 2 o'clock telephonically. And so we're going to start filling some roles and moving forward to make sure that we are prepared.
Sandy, just real briefly,
yes.
What is that? For the general public might not know, I don't really know. Is that it's an organizational structure, and it has different benchmarks that you enact once you hit different points, or what? What happens?
Well, it's an incident command system, and so we will have an incident commander, so the person who's in charge, which will be Carl,
mm-hmm.
And then he has people that work under him, and usually there's a planning branch, operations branch, financial branch, thinking. Help me, Lori. Anyway, and then we have liaisons with different entities, like we'll have a liaison with the hospital and the school district. And it's just a group of people that will come together, come up with a plan, have agenda items and action plans, and, yes, benchmarks to meet so that we are prepared when things happen. It's a great information share. It's to make sure we're all on the same page so that we're not scrambling around with when something hits.
And then you described we have reached level two. Is that a heightened level of?
Yeah, where before we were just, it was kind of a soft stand-up, and that was just me doing all the work. And so we had declared the emergency, and then I kind of took the role and was kind of doing all of the things, and I just couldn't keep up. And this thing is escalating, and so at a level three, then it will be regular meetings, probably staying in the same room together. And just constant working on nothing but this. But at this time, we're just getting organized and planning and preparing.
Okay, great. Thanks for clarifying from that end. We also have in the studio with us School Superintendent Erica Klute-Painter. Get your microphone on here for you. And
all right.
Erica, welcome back.
Thank you.
From the school district standpoint, what's the latest?
So the latest is that we are kind of in our levels of response as well, and still working with limiting access to the building as staff are starting to ask lots of questions about that. And so we're working through the same sorts of protocols that the medical center and others are as far as determining when and how people come into the building to get their things. We are strongly encouraging and providing the technology support to do a lot of Zooming in. For our staff meetings as we're moving into next week with planning and preparation. So stay tuned out there in Radio Land staff. I sent a very lengthy email to you yesterday with lots of information. So I'm going to keep that going with all of them. And then also just an update on our food service. We've had a lot of questions about kind of the schedule and what that's going to look like. So by the end of the day today, probably in the next, I'd say, 2 hours, we will be posting a link for our families to put in how many students they're going to be looking for meals. We have routes figured out. We've been working with our food service staff and with our Stikine services staff, our bus drivers. We're going to have two different kind of options for people. Hoopy's bus run is the bus run that goes Papke's to ferry terminal. We are actually going to run her bus run as basically the same way she runs it, same stops, everything, just moving it ahead a few hours. So her run will actually be starting at 11 a.m. out at Papke's, and it will finish up at the ferry terminal around 12:10. We're going to get information to families specifically. You're going to see a nice smiling face dropping off some meals to you. So that's for families on that route. We'll be getting you specific times. It'll be posted on Facebook. You'll be emailed to you. It'll get to you a million different ways. Then we're going to have 7 other locations in town for pickup. And one of them will be at the elementary school. We will also do Chelan parking lot. We will do Surf Street at the bottom by Petro, the public library, Lighthouse Church parking lot, Whale Observatory, and Serendipity parking lot. So we're going to get all those times out there to you. Don't stress. Don't panic. We've got lots of food, and it goes all the way down to younger siblings down to age 1. So stay tuned for that information. It's coming out to you, and we're hoping that your kids will be happy to see some smiling faces. So.
And this is lunch?
Lunch and breakfast.
And breakfast, okay.
Yep, all picking right. up a couple meals a day. So.
Okay, and it's free?
It's free, okay. All the way down, 18 right. to age 1. So
stay tuned to emails and mm-hmm. lots of other information on that.
Yep, okay. Absolutely.
All right, great. And still preparing for distance learning and getting ready for the return of some staff members Monday?
Yep, some staff members, teachers at this point probably have some of our classified staff. Our aides are going to be helping with food service. Teachers will be prepping. And there is some talk, just as people start to hear this, about extending beyond the March 30th date. That's happening in some individual districts, and there may be more information coming from the state on that. It is likely that will be extended. As we've said, we're preparing for that already. So I think just stay tuned for information about that. Don't be surprised if it, you know, if and when it gets extended, and we're just going to keep communicating, reaching out to you. Kids, don't worry. Your teachers are going to check on you starting on Monday. Lucky you. Here they come.
How about on the back end of the school year, if you're pushing back the resumption of classes, do you anticipate the end of school year will last longer into summertime?
At this point, there is not a plan to extend into the summer. I do not believe that is the intention. I believe the intention is for all districts to be working with students, doing the best that we very, very best that we can to provide those supports. Distance, we're very fortunate. We're living in times where we have lots of ways to get a hold of people. Also out there working with GCI, this is important for parents to know that they're doing their very best to allow kind of opening up on access. So within homes and also upping the amount of bandwidth and that sort of thing. So that is happening now. Like I was just on a teleconference, I don't know, 4 hours ago, another one. And that's happening now. So that's great news. That's not just for students, but that's for teachers as well. I can't say that goes for everybody in the public.
We're all going to have 5G tomorrow, right?
I can't say that, but I can tell you for students and teachers. So okay. That's what I know about that. So that's very good to know as well. And then, you know, we'll be getting more information about, you know, delivering devices and doing all that. It's all coming. So.
Okay. All right. Great. Yeah. We'll go back to the phone lines. I believe we have Petersburg Mayor Mark Jensen on the phone from the fishing grounds.
Can you hear me all right, Joe?
We got you. What's the latest, Mark? Are you social distancing as far as possible here?
Well, yeah, that's just not intentionally, but that's just what I do every spring is come down to this herring fishery, and I'm on my boat by myself, and currently no one's within probably a couple hundred yards of me. There's other Petersburg fishermen down here preparing for the fishery as well. But no, I was listening, and I've been paying attention as close as I can from emails, and like was mentioned earlier in this by Sandy Dixon, that we've formed an incident response team, and Carl Hagerman's the commander of that, and there's many other borough department heads involved in different aspects of that, trying to you know, keep on top of the ever-changing situation here. But I just would like to urge people to get accurate and current information, you know, from the CDC or state health people or our local health providers and professionals. And the Petersburg website has been, the borough website's been updated, and has all the links that people can go to get accurate information. And as well as your website, I understand, is updated daily with new information. So I just urge people to make sure they're getting accurate information and to practice, you know, social distancing and good hygiene, wash your hands, and be respectful of other people if you're not feeling well. Try to stay out of the public. And with those efforts, I think we will be able to go through this situation.
Mark, the assembly this afternoon is going to be voting on an emergency ordinance that could give you the possibility of curfews in town or limiting public gatherings. Do you think we're going to get to that point?
Well, I don't know if we're doing it. You know, I called to a special meeting a couple of days ago, day before yesterday, and one thing we want to do is to make it, instead of having a 24-hour previous notice, notifying assembly members of a meeting, this ordinance, if it passes like it's drafted, will allow us to do that within 8 hours. It also gives the manager, the incident commander of the response team, Carl Hagerman, permission to make decisions on those topics, on those issues, like you said, for instance, curfew or, you know, social gatherings. But those actions can also be reversed by the assembly, the way the ordinance is drafted. I hope we don't have to go there, but it's, without having the tools in place, you can't. So I believe Ketchikan did the same type of a ordinance yesterday. I don't know what the final outcome of that was, but it just gives us, you know, the ability to have more tools in the toolbox to do what we think is necessary to protect people.
Okay. Any other information you want to get out from the borough's standpoint before we go to another caller?
No, just, you know, try to be calm and you know, use accurate, you know, rely on accurate information. And, you know, there's some other, you know, information floating around. You know, you always, well, you're not going to the coffee shop anymore or the bars and getting information. But I think it's important that people, you know, are relying on the good information so they don't panic. And that's about all I have. So thanks for all your, everybody's participation in this effort.
Thanks for the update. Do you see any herring out there yet?
Nope. So we don't have to be too panicked down here about the herring showing up. Just people setting up pens, and other parts of the group are out gathering the kelp. And did see the fishing game plane fly by today. They're probably just counting the pound structures on the grounds to get a feel for the effort that's coming. And I think it'll be a well-attended fishery, since it's not the only thing going on right now besides the longline fishery. So hopefully the market's good. So, yeah. Anyway, thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for calling in. And I believe... try to get Sandy Dixon back on the line here. Sandy, sorry I cut you off to get the mayor online. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm here. Well, okay. I called back.
Okay.
So totally fine. I just want to talk about the LAPC meeting, the Local Emergency Planning Committee meeting that we had today telephonically. We had 25 or 26 participants. So there's like 13 people on our committee itself, and then I had invited other entities to participate. And it's just a committee designed to help plan for emergencies and issues in the community. And we met 2 weeks ago and started getting ramped up for this COVID-19, and then we had this teleconference today. And I just gave everyone an opportunity to talk about what their plan is and update where they are business-wise. And so the majority of the responses were, you know, please have people coming into their business have respect and patience for the social distancing. You know, if you're sick, don't come around. The supply chain is still happening. Supply may not be able to keep up with demand, but the barges are still running. AML is still operating. The fuel, they have plenty of product in line. The grocery stores are making concessions to help people. They're offering more delivery, maybe some curbside pickup. Some people are reducing their hours just to try to keep the spread down. We're encouraging people to not come around during peak seasons. So pretty much all the things we've already talked about, but I just wanted to reassure the community that all the businesses are doing what they can to help prevent the spread. We just need everyone in the community to do their part. So we're doing okay. I think we're going to get through this. So I think just everybody should wash their hands.
And we heard during that meeting, too, from Utility Director Carl Hagerman, also about plenty of water in the lakes for electricity and drinking water and services from the borough continuing. So that was good to hear, too.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else from the borough standpoint, Sandy, that you want to bring up?
Nope, I think I'm good. Thank you. I'll hang up now.
Okay, thanks for the update. And I think we do have a couple other callers, or one more at least. I'm trying to get them on. Caller on line one, are you there?
Yes, I am.
You're on. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Liz Cabrera with the Community Development Department, and I just want to follow up with what Sandy just said. There's a new link on the borough homepage, and it's resources for businesses and employees. And hopefully this won't be necessary, but if it is, that page has information for people who have become unemployed or are working less than full-time hours due to COVID-19. I spoke with the Director of Employee Benefits in the state yesterday. They are experiencing a heavy volume of applications and are encouraging everyone to file online. But if folks do not have internet access, there is an 800 number to call, and I'll just put that out there because it's not exactly easy to find on the state website. But the number is 1-888-252-2557. And you might have to wait a while. As I said, they're having a high volume of applications. And then the other thing is the governor has submitted a disaster declaration to the Small Business Administration, and probably in the next few days, disaster relief loans will become available for small businesses. There's a link on this page where you would apply and also the basic information you need to gather in order to make that application. Hopefully, you know, our businesses will be supported and we won't need these resources, but I did want to make them available if anyone did need them. So.
Okay, so that first number is unemployment benefits. Let's give that again, if you would, please.
Sure. It's 1-888-252-2557. Again, that is the one to use if you do not have access to the internet. Applications go much faster if you can apply online.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Great.
And we'll keep updating that page, so check back.
Okay. Thanks for the update, Liz.
Sure thing.
And a reminder, too, you're welcome to call in with a question or comment at 772-3808. Do have another caller here. Caller on line three, you're on. You might have to turn your radio down, but welcome to the conversation.
Hi, this is Marge Loynes again. And I was just wondering if someone could explain why they're not going to test people coming off the airplanes and the cruise ships. It seems to me if, you know, we're doing all these things to help ourselves, but if those people aren't tested, it's like what we're doing is not going to be that effective.
Okay.
So is there some way why that is not being done, and who do people have to contact to ask that it get done?
And Marge, to be clear, do you mean actual testing for coronavirus or screening?
No, just like what they do on TV is just test for a temperature.
Screening, yeah. Okay.
A screening,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So Petersburg Medical Center, are you still there with us? Can you handle that question?
Yeah, this is Phil. So the question was about temperature screenings, or was the question about lab
people getting off the chat?
Yeah, temperature screenings for everybody coming in on public transportation or, you know, airplanes, ferries, everywhere coming off those public transportation modes into Petersburg. Why isn't screening happening for those? Temperature screening specifically, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, we would recommend that businesses do that. The airport is obviously under FAA control, and the Alaska Airlines terminal is under Alaska Airlines corporate entity. We did actually place a banner in front of in the parking lot for all folks coming off the plane, encourage them to self-quarantine for 14 days. I did just get off a call with the state. There is some conversation at the state level I'm hearing about restricting tourism, travel, and southbound travel. So there are some talks about trying to limit travel under that in that respect.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Marge. Phil, while we got you on the line, other updates from the Petersburg Medical Center standpoint?
Just much of the same. We're firming up. We continue to evolve and firm up our travel policy, work travel. We are working, as I mentioned, the banner setting up at the Alaska Air Terminal, encouraging folks to self-quarantine for 14 days. And I think those are the main updates. I'm looking to my.
You told me earlier today, four people total sampled for sending out those test kits, and one back negative at this point, three still outstanding?
That's correct. Okay. That's correct. Yep, that's correct.
And are you having people call in on the hotline? Is that being utilized?
I'll turn it over. Jennifer's here, so hang on a second. She'll answer.
Sure.
I think we've received a few calls through the hotline, but it has not been widely used at this point, and we're hopeful that that's because there aren't a large number of people with COVID symptoms. But we are working on our protocols and working on having some clinical people be able to man that hotline. So anybody that does have concern and calls will get up to the date, good advice, and then we will be in contact with the physicians on people who have a higher suspicion of disease. So the hotline is open and ready to be used, but we have not seen a large volume at this point.
Okay. And any updates in terms of facilities and capability down there at the medical center, looking at other places for possible isolation of patients, or is that still in the works?
This is Jennifer, and I wanted to just, again, tell everybody, remind them that the hotline is 772-5788.
Thank you. Phil, do we have Phil back there? Or?
Yeah, I'm back, yeah.
Okay. Just a question on facility there at the Petersburg Medical Center, preparing for eventual patients and looking at alternative facilities.
Yeah, we did hear back. Ocean Beauty is willing to accommodate us in the event of surge or ward effect. And we also have the borough gym and the school gym available as well in the event of. We're looking at the Forest Service. I believe we did hear back that they're also able to accommodate. We just need to get a MOA, a MOU in place to validate some of those things.
Okay, great.
Oh, one thing I do want to add, just a notice, our board meeting next week is going to be just call-in only, just an FYI.
Okay, sounds good. Any other updates from the medical center?
Anything? I don't think so. That's about it.
Let me see if I think we do have another caller on the line. Caller on line one, do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, this is Chelsea Tremblay calling. I wanted to touch base on Marge's question about the cruise ship angle of the travel screening question. And this is coming as the spouse of a cruise ship employee who, thank goodness, is here with me right now, not stranded in Mexico. I wanted to assuage immediate concerns about the ships coming into town. They're in kind of a standing hold pattern right now. They don't know what's going on as much as any of us. And so a lot of stuff will have to be changing before a super active full cruise season happens. And that probably would include a reliable way to screen people. You know, they're a highly mobile, obviously not CDC compliant mode of transportation. So they would have to figure a lot of stuff out before, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I wanted, tacking on to everything that Phil said, just from the cruise ship side of that, based on what Dave said too yesterday, you can set that worry aside until more information comes to light, and I hope that that brings some reassurance to her.
Okay, thanks for that clarification. Yeah. Another question to ask a little bit more about making masks. Quilters in the community are interested in helping out and making some homemade masks that would help for protecting with the spread. Can anyone talk about whether that would be effective for halting the spread of coronavirus in the community? Is that a good idea? Anyone with the medical center still there can handle that? I think we had a little bit of discussion about that earlier on in the show, but
this is Jennifer, and it's a good question. At this point, the hospital cannot use homemade masks, but for the community, as Liz Baker mentioned a few minutes ago, the recommendation is that people who are not sick to not mask in the community. So to the number one way to stop the spread of this illness is to stay at home, stay at least 6 feet away from people, and wash your hands. So at this point, we are not recommending people mask in general. Sometimes people feel like it's a little safety feature, and then they go ahead and get too close to other people, touch things, and touch their mouth or nose or eyes. So the recommendation is to not mask in public. And if you are sick, you should be staying home anyway. So people can certainly call if they have any questions on how to navigate if they are ill and need to, come to the clinic or something. But other than that, we recommend people do not mask.
It is recommended for people who think they might be sick or in the process of waiting on test results and are at home and self-isolating, though, I imagine.
Yes, and that would be, if somebody is at home self-isolating, waiting for test results, we would have, I know Aaron has guidance, and we have guidance as well on how they would treat themselves at home.
Okay, great. So they can call the hotline to find out that.
Yes, and that is, and those are commercial-grade masks, not homemade masks.
Okay, all right, great. Sounds good. Thanks for answering the question. Anything more from the medical center? Nope. Okay. Before we get to the school district last, I would want to mention, too, the Petersburg Indian Association reached out to them for how they are responding, and email back from Tribal Administrator Tracy Welsh yesterday says, for now, offices are remaining open. However, they are asking tribal community members to come or to call first before coming into their office or email for assistance rather than coming in. There, if you do need to come into the office to pay rent or speak with someone, check in with Tina at the front office, and they encourage renters to mail in rent checks rather than dropping them off at the office when possible. Office upstairs will be closed, but a sliding drive-up window to the left of the door will be open, and someone will be there to assist you, and they can be reached 772-3636 or email questions office assistant at piatribal.org. They do say the transit van is still operating on its normal schedule, and it is being cleaned and sanitized more frequently than usual. They did close their gym this week to the public to help slow the amount of traffic coming into the building. And their basic needs project for tribal citizens still up and running. Tribal citizens can call the office to speak with Tori for more information. And for the safety of the elders and tribal citizens who are quarantined or have compromised immune systems, delivery of goods may be possible. And again, they highlight that the situation is evolving and they may be making changes. So stay tuned and keep posted. They'll get that information out through Facebook, Petersburg Indian Association, as well as here on KFSK. Petersburg School District, Erica, any last notes?
No, just a reminder that for parents out there to be keeping your email queued up and keep your eyes peeled on social media and that sort of thing for updates coming in about food service. And we're going to be sending out some surveys about connectivity issues that you may have in your home, as well as we mentioned the GCI options for families that are coming out now. But also we want to get a handle on what we can do to support you in your own home. And what we can do with our staff to provide support to parents who are a little nervous about all this moving forward. So stay tuned for some surveys and just a lot of information coming out about food service pickup times and all of that. So we're in this together. We're going to get through it. And we're going to keep the communication going. So I think that's it.
Okay, great. Caller on line one, do you have a question or comment?
This is Nicole McMurrin. Hello, and I'll save my question for another time, but I would like to take the opportunity to make the comment at how reassuring it is and how grateful I am to hear all of our local professionals stepping up in such a creative and cooperative manner. Such a high level of respect for you guys, and like I say, a lot of gratitude. Well done, and thank you.
Thank you very much for the comment.
You're welcome.
And I believe that's our last caller. So thank you very much for participating. Our next show will be on Monday at 12:30. Street Beat Music is up next. Before we get to the street beat music, this little ditty from this morning, courtesy Sally Reamer. And if you're out there listening by a sink, you can get your soap ready and practice your hand washing. Here we go.
Wash, wash, wash your hands. Wash them nice and clean. Use lots of soap on front and back and fingers in between. Scrub, scrub, scrub your nails, scrape dirt and germs away. Send them sailing down the drain and have a healthy day.